Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. And how about yourself?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk love as the ultimate human experience. Love is one of those encompassing words that can mean anything to anyone. Listen as we explain love as attraction and what we desire is what we become. Draw from duality, fear and limitation, that's what you become. Draw from truth and wholeness, the void or nothing, that's what you become. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of union with the divine. So Swami, since it's Valentine's Day, I thought we could celebrate and talk a little bit about what Valentine's Day is. So I got this passage from Wynn Calendar online, and they say that Valentine's Day is a celebration of love and friendship. The idea of Valentine's Day seems to have originated during the Middle Ages, somewhere around the 14th or 15th century. And the holiday derived its name from two Roman martyrs for love, both named Valentine. So before we get started, let's talk about the word love. What is love? How do we describe that?
Well, I really like to refer to love as the ultimate human experience. It's our ability to unconditionally give. And probably the first thing that you want to understand about love is that if you love someone or something and they leave you, you should not feel pain. See, pain is caused by all of the conditions that we place upon what it is that we think we love. And if we have this expectation and we are disappointed, then that's what causes the problems. And that's why what we're going to try and talk a little bit about here is that in order to really understand love, you have to understand attraction. And then you have to understand that reality is multidimensional. That whatever it is that we are attracted to is really going to determine our nature, but it's also going to determine our experience of love. Because different dimensions of reality have a different return.
So explain to us how do we know what we are attracted to? How does that work out, like the law of attraction?
Yeah, that's what we call the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. And if we are attracted to things that are visible and tangible, then we are attracted to particles. And that would actually bring us to a vibration that would be of the level of about an animal. Now, if we are attracted to thoughts or waves or images, then we would be of an equally low human nature. But if we desire this void or this nothing, this indivisible unified field, the life force, then we will be of a divine nature. So everything is really contingent upon what it is that we desire or what it is that we are attracted to.
Well, some people would argue that desire and love are not the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that there are other ways of defining these words. And then, of course, it becomes an academic argument or semantics. But for me, I really think that the term love really should be synonymous with attraction. And that's depending on all levels of the word. Because I like what C.S. Lewis did with it. You know, he says that in Greece there are four words that are associated with love. And there was sorgi, which was affection. There was philia, which was friendship. There was eros, which was the love of the sexes. And then there was agape, which was really God's love for humanity or the Christian's love for the brethren. So there you had four different words, kind of like to identify with this word, one word that we use, love. It's kind of like the Eskimos have 70-some plus words for snow. But sometimes, you know, when you're trying to define something, words can be somewhat limiting and obscure. But when I speak of love, I really speak of the ultimate human experience. And it's really about this concept of agape, which isn't necessarily just God's love for humanity, but I think it's also the human's ability to love God. And then I guess what we could probably start to pull apart is, what is God?
Yeah, that was going to be like one of my next questions. But you have said in other shows that we should love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. So what does that look like? I mean, that's a lot of words that we kind of string together. But then if we don't know what love is, then how do we know that we're loving God with our heart, our soul, and our mind?
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time reading scriptures. And even say, for example, I mean, just off the top of my head, in James 4:4, he says here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So to me, that gives me a real clue that you can't love the world and love God. And that's where you really get into what I call the physics of spirituality. It's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So if you have a desire for things visible and tangible, there's your clue that you do not have attention for this concept of God, which of course is invisible and intangible. If you have attention for things that are invisible but tangible, waves, again, you will not have attention for something that's invisible and intangible. And that's where, when you really start to analyze religions, which in my opinion is exactly what yoga is, this ability to rejoin the individual with this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. that to me is the union. And that to me is also what the word religion means, to relink. But to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind requires this element of purity, to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And that's where I find that the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad, is because they don't really bring you into the physics of spirituality. See, you can't get spirit into your body if it's longing for something worldly. And that was why purification was a big part of these religious traditions. You had to purify the body. You actually have to create a hospitable inner environment to invite spirit into your body. That the body comes in and it has a pattern. It has this, the term was called the original sin. We look for food, mother, and approval. And because of the physics, you can't get a new pattern in if you've got the old pattern there. And I can understand that all my years working in the building trades, you know, where you would pipe out a heating system and then you would try and fill it up with water. Now, if there is air in the lines, you can't get water in. You have to let the air out. And so you start to understand physics. You start to understand these are simple laws, simple rules that are provable. They're scientific. And the same is true with spirituality. That to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, you really can't be longing for a cup of coffee or a cigarette or a glass of wine. That you actually have to change the reward circuits in your brain. You have to change the pattern in your body. And then, of course, you will be attracted to the void or the nothing. That's what a metaphysical or a mystical system, what yoga in its true form does for an individual.
When we talk about the heart, the soul, and the mind, does that equate to like the physical body, the mental body, and the causal spiritual body?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. And you know, the word heart, you know, is an interesting term, because to me, that's the body's feeling state. That the mind has vision, but it really doesn't have any passion or power. And so all of our passion and our ambitions really come from the physical body. And to me, that's the heart. And if the heart, the body's feeling state, longs for, again, whatever it is that we are addicted to, whatever it is that we have internalized in our bodies, that we use to produce a feeling in the body that we're okay, that's what we are attracted to. That's the like attracts like.
So I want to ask you a question about patterns. When you talk about that, that seems to be that would be the biggest challenge that we would have as a people, would be to break those patterns to be able to invoke that life force, that spirit energy.
Yeah, and that's where practice, that's why I really embraced Kriya Yoga, because they use the physical body. You actually work with the physical. You perform a practice that has physical and mental attributes to it, and through repetition comes absorption, so that you can eventually change neurological pathways. You can change your reward circuits in your brain.
All right, we're going to get back to patterns. So listeners, we're going to pause and hold that thought, hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll return with you shortly.
Om Namah Shivaya.
New Moon Mantra and Meditation on Sunday, February 26, 2017 at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Kriya Yoga Center, live in Hampton, New Hampshire, or live online. Kick off your personal development. Use this solar eclipse as a springboard to renew your vow or to impregnate the seed of your conscious mind to initiate your process. Then, plot the 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day gestation period of your growth. Solar eclipses symbolize the union of matter, mind, and spirit. Join us to take advantage of the celestial assistance from the Piscean solar eclipse. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, before the commercial break, we had talked about patterning. So, I would think that for us to try to break patterns, A, we'd have to do one thing, and that's to realize we have a pattern. And then B, it would seem to me that we would have to bring it back to how we think. What are our thoughts that are creating the pattern?
Yeah, it's what we call rewriting cellular memory. And it's a big part of how, what one of the things that you learn when you start to practice Kriya Yoga is that we condition our bodies, and the body has expectations, and you can actually start to change these patterns. We can change our addictions, basically. And the way that we do that is the exact same way that you would change the message on an answering machine. That to change the message on an answering machine, you can't just yell at the machine. There's always a couple of buttons that you have to push. Now, one of the first things with regard to a yoga practice is you have to recognize that your physical body, when it is comfortable, it's impressionable. That's why television is so detrimental. That studies have shown that we exert more energy sleeping than we do when we're actually watching television. Now, the problem with the condition is that you are very susceptible to information on this cellular level. So what happens is you're in this catatonic state, and they're actually writing your pattern. So when you want to do it yourself, the first order of business is that you have to keep your body comfortable. That's one of the reasons why when we do our asana classes, that it is paramount that you keep your body comfortable, that it's not a contest, it's a relationship. And if you feel pain, discomfort, or instability, then you talk to your body in the same way that you would if you were trying to calm an animal down, because that's basically what our physical bodies are. We're basic primary organisms. We move towards what we want, we move away from what we don't want. We're pretty fundamental, we're pretty basic, we're simple. But everything is going to be contingent upon this pattern, because that's going to determine what it is that we move towards, whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we want or we love. And so when you're doing a Kriya Yoga practice, you definitely want to keep your body comfortable, because when it's comfortable, it's impressionable. But when you're changing the message on an answering machine, you can't just push the buttons. You also have to be prepared to tell the machine what it is that you want it to say. So it's a two-part process, that if you push the buttons and you say, "Hi, I'm not home. If you leave me a message, I'll call you back," then the machine will now do exactly what it is that you wanted it to do. And the same is true with when you're doing a Kriya Yoga asana practice, that there's all of this internal mental work that you're actually doing. Just like you had said, the first thing you have to do is recognize that I have a pattern. and you're scanning your body, and you're basically looking for what your body is attracted to. And if you find something that is undesirable, then of course you can't just release and let go. You have to change the pattern. So then you can take the mind actually out of the body, and you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination. You can replace the negative thought or pattern with a new image, and then you internalize the new image using your breath. When you inhale, you draw that new image into the body and direct it. And then, like we had said earlier, through repetition comes absorption. So if you consistently do this on a regular basis, eventually you change the pattern.
You know, I was thinking, I remember hearing a long time ago as a child that obviously we would get in trouble as a child if we ever used the word God, like even saying that expression, oh my God, that was not a good thing, because if you use that word God in a different meaning than what's intended to, then it loses its sacredness. Do you think that the word love is kind of the same thing, that word just gets tossed around so much, like the word God, that it's lost its really true meaning, and the word love really shouldn't be equated with the word God?
Well, I think love of God is the optimal mode of operation for an individual. That I don't know if you would equate them. That I don't know if that would prove out for me. That love is the attraction, and of course God becomes the object of one's attraction. It becomes the thing that you actually are desiring. And so, as far as, you know, that a lot of the way that we went about our religions and this whole thing of not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, I think we kind of misunderstand what the original intention of that really was. That the whole thing is you don't want a false God. You don't want to be attached to the world and then think that you're spiritual. The term in Kriya Yoga is called avidya, ignorance. It's mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And I don't think it comes down so much to what we say about this stuff. I really think it comes down to what we do about this stuff. And Because God isn't some cosmic puppeteer that is monitoring and conduct and rewarding and punishing our behavior. I mean, that's an antiquated way of looking at religion. That's why it's failed so bad. And coming back to, like, so what is God? And to me, the best way to understand the term is the force right now that is supporting our lives. But it's invisible and it's intangible. And that's one of the reasons why this concept of belief was put into the equation. But it doesn't mean that it isn't provable, because the force right now that is supporting our lives, our number one need, is provable on some level. And so the thing that we really want to be able to do is we want to be able to understand what God is, and then we want to be able to internalize it as a resource or as a source of sustenance, so that you actually pray, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, on God, that you actually use this invisible, intangible source as a symbol for validation, that your body revels in the availability of this invisible, intangible source. And when we do that, then of course we're in compliance with a lot of the scriptures. Then you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And what's interesting is that when you do love God, then one of the things that happens with that is that you become virtuous by nature. It's like you don't have to really attend to your behavior anymore.
I guess I was thinking that if somebody says something like, you know, oh, I love chocolate chip cookies, that sense of love or something that should really be geared toward God, or whatever our concept of God should be, as opposed to putting that same feeling to a cookie.
Right. And I kind of like what C.S. Lewis said too. He said something to the effect of, aim for earth and you get nothing. Aim for heaven and earth gets thrown in. That we put our efforts in most of the time in the wrong place. I think Henry David Thoreau was the one who said, why should we be in such haste to succeed in such desperate enterprise? That we're really putting a lot of our efforts in the wrong place. We're too embroiled in the physical world. And then somehow we think that is being spiritual, when in fact it's not spiritual at all.
So interesting. So I do like that saying, if you reach for the heaven, you'll get everything. And that's kind of like what you had just said earlier. That's when we become humans in the adult state.
Right. And when we love God. Or I even like the way the Buddha said the same thing. We desire nothing. We desire the void or the nothing.
So if we have to change the patterns that we have, so we want to start by purifying the body. So we need to understand that we have some work to do in that particular area. So if we want a chocolate chip cookie more than we want that relationship with God, we have to come to that realization and then try to break that pattern.
Right. And when you do it successfully, you don't give up chocolate chip cookies. You actually become addicted to this invisible, intangible source. You don't even think about chocolate chip cookies now because you're using a different source of sustenance for validation. You're not abstaining, but you're indulging. And if you find that you are abstaining, then the change hasn't gone deep enough. You haven't changed the pattern of your body. That your body is still longing, and mentally you are kind of giving this concept of God lip service or the glad hand.
So you have to really kind of understand that you really want something more than just that cookie. And that's what you get when you turn and are with God. So I do think we do have to start closing down our program today. So listeners, you can visit us at our website, www.ipdtransform.com. From that point, you can make comments about this show or give us suggestions for future shows. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste. Mm-hmm.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.